Kaya FM 95.9. The Law Report with Michael Motsoeneng Bill on Kaya FM 95.9.
Very good evening to you and welcome to the Law Report. It's me, Michael Motsoeneng Bill, with what are we talking about today? We're talking about what we promised we'd be talking to you about last week. Last week we had a pretty cool show and we had fun, Lilo and I.
Yeah.
And Lilo had so much fun he decided he doesn't want to do it on the phone. He's gonna come in person. Lilo is in the studio.
And I wanted to see you, Mike.
And you wanted to see me?
Yeah.
I wanted to see you too. Oh, you want a hug?
I just see you on the billboard. I just see you on the N1. So I said, hey, no, let me go check.
All right. So last week we had a show. It was an open line and we said to you, ask us any question. And Nilo and I are standing ready to answer. That's what we did last week.
Yeah.
But as always, people started calling us at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And we said, all right, because everybody's calling us at the end of the show,
yeah,
let's do it properly. We'll do it again this week,
yeah,
being today,
yeah,
where you can phone us, but don't phone us at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd put something else, Lilo.
Okay.
I thought if somebody asks us a question,
yeah,
that relates to law, obviously, yeah, we only know law,
yeah,
that we can't answer,
yeah,
we take them out for dinner.
Yeah. It's on you.
It's on me. I'll pay.
Yeah. The Randellas almost save your face. So.
All right. So it's a challenge. And I don't intend to use it because we're going to get everything wrong.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike has a black card, so.
Yeah, because I painted it. All right, number to dial, 086-00-00959. We look forward to taking your calls. Literally, you can ask us anything, whether it pertains to your work, it pertains to divorce, maintenance, corporate, you want to start a business, you want to buy a business, you want to whatever. You got an issue with a bank, you got an issue with an insurer,
with
anything that you got a question on the Constitution.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Lilo and I are here. 086-00-00959. And you can also, what's your Twitter handle? I know lawyers today got Twitter handles. You got a Twitter handle,
you
man?
Go. The Advocate NM Lilo.
Haha, it's upgraded.
I knew where you were going with it.
It needs to just be Lilo. And then we got to add
I knew where you were going with
yeah,
it.
I'm going to put Mr. on mine, man. You know, you're Mr. Michael Motsoeneng Bill.
I knew where you were going with
it. All right, my Twitter handle is, what is it again? Motsoeneng Bill. That's right. At Motsoeneng Bill, that's my Twitter handle. You can ask us any questions on both those Twitter handles. And we're good to take your call. There's Itumeleng from Johannesburg wants to talk about maintenance. If you want to ask us a question, 086-00-00959. Any question. If we don't get it right, if we can't answer it, we'll be honest, because I'm not going to answer you if I don't know what the answer is, right? So we're either going to answer it, and of course it's going to be right,
yeah,
right? Because this guy's a good lawyer.
Oh,
and if we don't get it right, we take you out.
Yeah.
If you live far, we'll send some wine. We'll send some wine your way. Or whatever you like. Sweet. I don't know. Not everybody drinks.
Restrictions.
Actually, Lilo doesn't drink.
Jeez. I want it to be a fast night.
It's going to be a slow date, yeah. All right. Itumeleng, hello.
Good evening, how are you?
Good, thank you. And yourself?
Good. Actually, I have a question. It happens that the baby mama took me to a court, and then after taking me to a court, he claimed that I was not paying maintenance for a child. And then she insisted that she's looking for a certain amount that I have to pay, even though I produce each and every evidence that I was maintaining the child. And it happens that the court clerk, of which I was not aware that she's a court clerk, she didn't even consider what I was bringing on the table. Whatever I was saying, it was not considered. Even though after drafting an income and expenditure statement, then they came to a conclusion of which I'm not happy about the conclusion. And then I want to make, I want to do a review on the court order. Then the other thing is that even though I do pay the maintenance or that was stipulated in the court order, but we have a problem because the mother of my child keep insisting that this is not what she wants. When I buy clothes for the child, she take it back. When I buy vouchers, she take it. She wants to go for exclusive shops. She doesn't want me to buy where I feel comfortable to buy. Mm. So that's a problem. And then the court order was issued against me that I must look for a crutch and pay for the crutch. But now, whatever that I'm doing, she's against it. Now she took out the child from that crutch that I looked for, and she wants to put her on another crutch, which is far expensive. I don't understand what's happening about this. And then I want to know if I apply for a review on this. That is the possibilities. And the other thing, the track order didn't take into consideration that I have 5 kids, which means it's 4 plus this one is 5. All my expenses were not considered. Now, that's a problem that I'm having, and an issue that she doesn't take the vouchers that I buy from the other shops. I won't mention the shop's name, but she wants the classic shops.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
What does the court order say? What does it say you must do every month?
The court order says I pay a child maintenance certain amount. I pay a church fee, and then I buy clothes twice a year, winter and summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why are you sending vouchers?
No, actually, I send voucher for a certain amount so she can buy whatever she thinks is good for. But even though when I buy vouchers, she doesn't take. Because last time I bought clothes, she said she doesn't want clothes from that shop. And then now, I decided to buy vouchers. She doesn't take the vouchers. I said, you better keep these vouchers.
Okay, but what's your problem then? If do you see the child? Does the child see you, visit you?
Yes.
Okay, but why don't you buy the clothes so that the child can wear those clothes when they are with you? Or is a visit too seldom? I'm just trying to be practical before we get legal.
Actually, I do buy the clothes.
Mm.
Yeah. Now the problem is that whatever that I'm bringing on the table, it seems she's not happy about it.
No, but Yagiro, when you are not trying to make her happy, those days are gone.
Yeah. That's what I told her mother, that I'm not going to give this to you because you throw them back to me. So I'll give it to your mom, and then your mom will take care of the kids.
Mm. So you don't you don't have to worry about anything. Your job, you got two jobs. Your first job, and I'm not in no particular order. Your first job is to do what the court order says. You need to buy the clothes and give it to. How old is your child?
The child now is 10 and 3.
Okay, so it's still a young child. Mm. So when a child is visiting you, you will put on the back of that child the clothes that make you feel happy. And the person that wants expensive brands will do the same when the child is with her. So you buy the clothes, you keep your receipt to say it's winter, I've bought these clothes and here's my receipt. It's summer, I've bought these clothes and here's my receipt. And then when the child visits, you know, I don't know how frequently the visits are. If they're frequent enough, you keep the clothes at your house. If they're not frequent enough, when the child goes back to the mother, she or he goes back with those clothes. Therefore the court is fine. There's no basis. You don't need, I mean, we'll get to the bit that you want to review, but I wasn't sure what you want to review. About the crèche. You pay the crèche that was prevalent at the time of the court order. Unless she's moving the crèche because she's moving house, you know? So you don't go, I don't want this creche, I want that creche next door because of whatever, and you don't consult. That move has nothing to do with you. You pay into that new creche the same amount that you used to pay. And if she takes you to court, you will say, when you made the order, this was the creche amount. There wasn't a consultation on the movement. And people do this. People, you know, people are happy to go to a school that costs 20,000 rand. On divorce, they're now going to one that's 200. What's changed? Right?
Yes.
So, yeah, you want to deal – I dealt with the nice stuff.
No,
I deal with the more difficult stuff.
No, I think you've dealt with it in the specifics. To say the your primary duty is to obey a court order.
Yeah.
And anything else outside the court order is you have no legal obligation to.
Correct.
You can do something over and above the court order
for your child.
For your child.
Not for the lady.
Yes.
Cause, so so your job is to do the court order, but also be a father.
Yeah.
And not just be a father, cause you probably are. The trick is to be a good one.
Yeah. And my I think if we let's deal also with some principal issues.
Yeah.
He says he went to the maintenance court and met a clerk official, and it appears there's an order that was he suggests that an order was made by a clerk of the court. There are two if not three processes that happen. The first time you go to a clerk, they help you in the process of trying to see if the two of you can come to some form of an agreement without having to argue the matter out in court. If you agree to whatever is being suggested during that period, and that agreement is then made an order of court, you can't then complain about it because you'd have participated in that process. If you want a change, because your circumstances have changed, you don't bring a review application. You bring a variation application to say, I want this order to be varied for one, two, or other reason. The clerks of the court have no power to force you to agree to anything. They are simply there to help you to facilitate that you come to some form of an agreement without having to go to court. If you are unable to agree during that mediation process, the matter may then be set down for an actual trial, and the magistrate or the judge would then make a determination as to how much is going to be paid in maintenance. Maintenance is a function of what you have available to you between the two of you as the parent.
As a parent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the principle is you must pay and look after the child proportionate to your income.
Yeah. What I want to make a review on is that whatever you said recently, it's what happened. But now what I felt in that office of the court, I felt like I was pressurized. I didn't know, because my income statement and my bank statement were not considered as what I brought on the table. It was made roughly. And then I didn't have any weight or anything that I can say that, look, man, this is what's happening. And then she never, ever even consider that I have four kids besides this one. She never even consider my pension. You understand what I'm talking about?
That's yeah, but it becomes a problem. It becomes a problem to say that process, you agree that process did happen, you brought certain documentation and an agreement was made. It becomes a problem because it always seems like an attempt to get out of a binding court order, because the assumption is, if you consented to an order being granted after you had a discussion with the maintenance officers there, the reasonable impression to be created is that you're fully aware of what you are doing. It creates uncertainty if we are going to say, no, I was pressured and so forth, because you had an opportunity. I'm very sure that the magistrate did ask you whether or not you were agreed to what had been brought to the magistrate after the discussion with the maintenance office. Be that as it may, if you want any amendment to what was agreed, for whatever reason, go back to the maintenance court and ask for a form where you fill in a form that is called a variation, not a review. Don't keep using the term review, because it means something completely different. So when you get to the maintenance officer, you say you want to vary the order that was granted by consent, and then you provide additional documentation which suggests that there's a change in circumstance from the time at which that order was granted and what you now want to do now.
Okay.
All right. Yes, sir. All right. If you just tuned in, we're taking your calls on any subject of law. And if you ask us a question that we can't answer, we're going to buy you wine or take you out for dinner. Lebohang, you're calling from Johannesburg. And if you've just tuned in, please do give us a call. 086-000-00959. I'm going to stop taking calls. If you call this 529, I'm not going to feel bad like I did last week. Lebohang, hi.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. A quick one, Michael and your colleague, Advocate. I've got a friend. Let me just narrate a bit of the story. In 2019, she felt ill, and she was subjected to hospitalization for observation. It ran up until for 12 months. The long story short is that when she was supposed to claim part of her salary from UIF, there was a slip. Documentation was never processed up until last year, December, when she tried to go back. Her claim was never fulfilled. Now, according to UIF clerks, they say she needs to go to the doctor, so that the only option they can do for her is to try and assist her. She must get substance from UAF from December. But now my question is that from 2019 up until 2020, that period, where does she get remedy for that? Because at work, documentation has been presented that she's sick.
Yes. Did you understand the question, Lilo?
Where
is the question? I mean, I get that she's in hospital, she remains in hospital for 12 months. She comes out of hospital, and the employer says go to the UIF, and I'm not sure what happened at the UIF. Did she go to the UIF?
She did present a document to UIF, but UIF. They come back to her and said to her, there's a period that she was, according to them, she's working. So she cannot claim from 2019 September until last year. They can only take her from December until now. That's when they can assist her with claiming that period. But the other month, she cannot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, well, as the term suggests, unemployment suggests that you are paid. The employer takes a certain amount of money and insures against unemployment. I'm oversimplifying it. So if during the material period she is not considered unemployed and she still remains in the employ of the employer, then there is no... Yeah, so no, it becomes a matter between the employee and the employer, not UIF, because she is still employed. So you can't trigger the insurance as it were when the insured event hasn't happened, because you're still employed during that period. So in my view, they are correct, at least insofar as the period she remains in the employ of the employer. But from the moment she then, as the term suggests again, becomes unemployed, then she can claim.
Yeah. So she can't get a salary and UIF payment at the same time for the same period. So maybe that's the kind of help that we can give. So for example, if the employer wasn't paying her during the time that she had taken ill, then it means that she can claim. It's the same thing with maternity.
The employer would have to indicate some form of termination of employment.
But with maternity leave, employers pay.
She was sick. Maybe it might be a claim of incapacity she has fallen ill, and therefore during this period we terminated the employment. Because maternity is, I think it's different from this, because the insured event is unemployment.
Correct.
And if you're still in the employ, you can't have your cake and eat it.
Got it.
No.
All right. Thank you, Lebohang. We're getting more calls, and we got an interesting one. I think somebody wants wine. it's an advocate. Advocate Benny Padime, le guy and dad.
I don't know what is your problem. I mean,
You remember we had a long session on the program.
Indeed.
On the gender-based violence.
Aha, ke hopola hantle.
Can you greet the council on the other side?
Oh, is there a special greeting for council?
So the greeting is coming via post office.
No, sorry, council. I know it's unnecessary.
How are you, my brother?
For the court of law to greet council via. However, councillors, I wanted to hone in on a few matters that you wanted me to talk about. Mm. The other year that they called me to the studio,
yes,
to come and explain the issues of gender-based violence and so on. Well, can I start with the maintenance issues that you raised?
Mm.
Just to say, Council, what has happened now is that for people who don't pay maintenance, we have now increased the sentencing to a maximum imprisonment not exceeding 2 years. I'm just warning you on that.
E.
Two is that any domestic violence matter that is reported or any sexual offense matters that are reported, the 20-year limitation is now revoked. Okay? Mm. So if somebody raped you 40 years ago, you can go and lay a charge.
Correct.
How it's investigated, it's a technical matter. Remember, there are legal technicalities that we have to consider. There are lacunas that we must issue if there are. There are matters of principle. And remember, councils, that we still follow two matters, the rule of law and the principles of legalities.
Mm-hmm.
The third issue was around, I think that he was talking about something related to employment.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, councils, we have to ensure that we go through all the processes. You can reject mediation legally.
Mm-hmm.
You can reject conciliation legally and go straight to arbitration. In cases where the labor court finds that there must be an appeal, there can be an appeal. And I'll give you a simple example, Council, that in terms of the unions who are going to the Constitutional Court right now, I can tell you, and I can bet bottom dollar with my whiskey, the best one,
mm-hmm.
that the unions are going to win this case at the Constitutional Court.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have a full bench, clearly, and what will happen then is that obviously government then has to come back and implement the final part of the 3-year agreement of the unions in terms of the payment of the public service.
We're going to take a break and we're back after this.
Should I hold on? Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Yes, I think perhaps let's go to the adverts.
No. Equal. How does guys are back and forth? Send away equal.
Okay. What I'm saying is, I think what we need to do perhaps is to formulate a council's forum ourselves. Remember that we've got a problem with the General Council of the Bar. We've got the problem with PABASA and these other, you know, extending problems, but these are internal problems that we must solve. But in terms of what you have said, everything else is in order, and I think please keep that man there. He mustn't, council mustn't escape from us.
What's working? Luena, ngare kya o soka. I think was only the Morris now and a more law report. So it was talk or over the Rona. If you've just tuned in, it's an open line and we're talking about whatever you want us to talk to. Give us a call, 086-000-00959. We're taking a break and we're back after this.
The Law Report on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome back, Mkaya. No visit time, I'm with my big brother, Michael Motsoneng Bill. If you don't know how he looks like, just go into the N1. There's a big billboard there. You'll see how handsome of a man he is. We're taking your calls on anything to do with the law. Mike has thrown the gauntlet. He says, if you can't answer your question, we'll buy you lunch, we'll buy you dinner, or if it is a bottle of wine, send the address, it will come. So, give us a call on 086-000-00959.
And you can stop the flirting. Thank you very much.
Hello, Kenny, you're calling from Johannesburg. Good evening.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm all right. Yeah, you are speaking to Kenny Meyer in Tuckleback, actually.
Yes, sir.
Yes. It's about eviction.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, some few years we were evicted from a family house. The house was in Paris.
Okay.
And what actually transpired in that thing was the eviction officers or whoever that was part of the eviction committee, chatting with three kabutsoti. Because when we find out from the deep office in Bloemfontein, we still find out that those houses that were evicted from, they still call Mabito Arona.
Okay.
You follow. And what these people did was, it was a company called Tubelisha, and this company called Tubelisha built houses for all people that were evicted in their houses, in their original houses.
Mm-hmm.
So years later, what we find out now is those people who stay in the original houses, not the ones that they were built for us, Bantabachola, the rates and taxes with our name, they can't change the names and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know, Hore, in that matter or in that regard, what is the way forward? Is it, am I allowed to go and say and claim the house back with the documents to be exact? Maybe the title deed or not.
Oh, no, it's on. Have you got a title deed?
Yes.
And it's in your name?
It's in my brother's name, actually.
So how were you evicted? So maybe we don't understand. We don't understand the development. I know Paris, but I don't know what you're talking about. How did you or your brother come to occupy the house? Who are these people that brought evictions application? Just to give us, you know, so that kind of background.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My brother was working for the mine in Sasselbeek.
And the mine built houses for them?
Yes, the mine built houses for
and
them.
And the mine gave them
loan houses or something like that.
Okay, and the mine gave them title deeds?
Mine gave them title deeds.
And then those houses were financed?
Yes, they were financed.
And your brother stopped and then, paying?
I don't know. Like, he continued paying, and then there was a point more he stopped paying. It was that later, the summons and whatnot. But how the summons were done, they were done incorrectly. So,
in what way? Why are you saying it's incorrect? If we're going to help you, we need to know specifics. You know, sometimes you have a feeling that something is wrong, but. You know, if that's all you have, then we're not able to give you good advice. But if you say, I believe that it was wrong because this happened or, you know, whatever, then you don't have to worry about the law. You just tell us what informs your feeling. Then we will.
What I believe is wrong in everything else, I think, or there's houses of people around Murgilanting presently. Can you register about 150 randa and those people, but the offices still never supported to Lahala. So when these other, because there was a committee that was formed from Batuba, but those were evicted, and they found out, and it was the ghost thing, and over the fly-by-night people.
How long ago is this?
This is, 10 years ago now.
You see,
and only now,
I was trying to say how you can be helped, because one, it's 10 years ago, and from even your explanation, I'm not sure what the real facts are, you know? So maybe what you can do is your brother still alive?
Yes, he's still alive.
Do you, if you have time, get your brother to phone us.
Okay.
Unless you got it. I mean, I get the complaint, but I don't get the...
When I was at Lawyers for Human Rights, and it's exactly in that period, 10 years ago, we used to deal with matters of that nature, particularly in the Middleburg area and the Northwest area.
Yeah.
Where I think it's Gauteng, the borderline between Gauteng and...
Northwest.
Mm-hmm. So I have a sense of what usually happens in situations like this. His facts are not very...
Yeah. But what would happen in those facts? Because it does sound... The reason I asked him how long ago this was, because it does sound like a group...
Yeah.
A group thing that requires a group effort.
Yes. And, so I was going to suggest that... let them go to organizations like Lawyers for Human Rights, or SALC, or Veslo Clinic, or clinics which deal with land and housing and eviction matters. Because at Lawyers for Human Rights, when we were doing land and eviction, we used to deal with similar matters like this, about maybe it's a company, or it's transition from the old Poputa Tswana and so forth. So the facts ring a similar bell to those kind of things we used to deal with. So I think organizations like Lawyers for Human Rights and these law clinics would be best suited to do any proper investigation.
But for the purpose of our show, right, because we still want to kind of look helpful.
Okay.
Get your brother to phone us, because he would know exactly what happened, because I have a sense that, you know, you were chilling, and then you're like, no, you know, you kind of have secondhand information. Get him to phone. We'll help. Francis from Johannesburg. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I've got a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a house with a financial scheme some time ago, and I've paid my settlement on 2016. Now, the problem was, after I paid the settlement, they kept on taking money, the bond money, for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized that they were still taking money, I went to the bank and stopped the bank, and I called the people to tell them, people, you were charging me more because I've got my title deed, but you're still taking money. Now, when I want my refund, they're sending me post to Pillar. I don't know what else to make do.
Okay. Who is the financial institution? I'm just trying to...
Can I call it their name?
Yeah, sure.
It's Klano Financial Services.
Uh-huh. They financed your house?
Yes, that's where I bought the house.
Okay.
Right. Now, in 2016... I paid the settlement of the house. That was the balance of the house. I paid it. That was 16,000.
Mm-hmm.
I paid it off and settled the bond.
Sure.
I got, when I checked my bank statement, they were still taking money. And I went to the bank and stopped
there. Yeah, we got that. Okay, cool. So you want your money back?
And
that's ultimately what you're saying.
Services.
And then have you got any statements from your bank?
Yes, of course.
And then you've got your statement, and you've got the proof that you've paid the last 16,000.
Yes.
Did they give you and then after you paid, that's when they gave you the full title deed that is unencumbered.
Yes, I got it from the attorneys. But now, when I claim my money that I was paying more, they're sending me from post to Pillar.
That's fine.
I don't know what
that's fine. That should be easy, Mr. Mnilo.
Yeah, no, that should be easy. If you are able to to prove that the money that was paid was undue, you don't need to go from pillar to post.
Yeah.
You send a letter of demand, or if you've done so already, or if you haven't done so already, you simply issue someone's, trust me, after you've issued someone's claiming the money, you should be able to document and prove that that money was indeed paid and it was paid to them. You tally that amount, you issue someone's, they will pay attention to you.
And I'm wondering if he can't go to, the ombudsman as well, because I mean this would be undermining the financial services FSP license that these guys get, and once you threaten that, they might want to react quickly.
Yeah.
So we'll think about that. Stay on the line, Francis. But I think there's a cheaper and more free way you can get help. You make somebody else deal with the problem. Okay, cool. We're going to take a break. Please do give us a call. Kevin, I see your line. Number to dial, 086-000-0959. It's Lilo and I taking any of the questions that you might have as that pertain to any questions of law. We're back after this.
The Law Report with Michael Mutwining Bill on Kaya FM 95.9.
It's Michael Mutwining Bill with Mobizit Mlilo. We're taking your calls on 086-000-00959 on anything to do with the law. We're ready to give you answers to anything that might be concerning you. Always ready to help you. I see Kevin, you're on the line. Kevin.
Hi, Michael. Okay.
I got a nicer voice than that, surely. That was Moisés' voice. Mine is way better. Hi Kevin. Sorry, it's
weird. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So my challenge is with a car manufacturer being Renault SA. So last year December, I took my car started misfiring, so I took it in for fixing for them to check it out. They came back to me and they said, no, so the spark plug has an issue. And then they had to sign like some consent that if they stretch the car, I'll be liable for the cost, whatever it may be, which is fine because they went ahead with it. And then they came back to me and told me that the spark plug broke inside the engine. Okay, fine. But then over time, it became a warranty claim, and the warranty guys came back and said, okay, I must pay R75,000. And it was a case, and then, once they notified me of that, I actually went back and checked my books, because what didn't make sense to me is that how can my spark plugs break 5,000, just 5,000 Ks after service, because I'd serviced the car 5,000 Ks earlier. And it was my 60,000 Ks, which includes a replacement of spark plugs.
Mm.
Now, what happened is I checked my service book. There was no record of them changing my spark plugs. I checked my invoice. There was no record of them changing my spark plugs. But then that service was done at Renault Carter in Melrose. But then now I'm at Renault East Grand because it's closer. So I notified them of this. Like, hey guys, okay, so I just checked my papers and this and this. There's no record of you guys changing my spark plugs, which I believe that's the reason why the spark plugs would break, because that it makes sense. So long story short, they basically came back and said, no, you're liable. And the only reason why I'm liable is because I was late for service. Okay, fair enough. I was late for service previously due to COVID and everything that was happening and garages were not open. So, but then now, this is not a service related, like it's not a warranty issue. It's a negligence issue.
Yeah.
But they still ruled against.
So, They say you're late, but they don't raise the issue of your lateness. They fix your car without complaint. They service your car without complaint.
For service, yes, they did raise it, that, oh, you're late for service. But bear in mind that the car was running fine when it went in for service.
But I'm saying the you're late for service is nice to hear. But what I'm saying is if you're late for service, it means you're not eligible to it. Was that your last service?
It was my last service.
I mean, but what I mean is that your last subsidized or paid for service was.
No.
It ends at 100. What? When does
100% I pay?
It ends at 100.
No, it ends at 30,000. So the 45,000 and 60,000 I paid for.
Okay, but so this was a service that you paid for. So whether you, so it's not part of the option. It's not part of that. It's not the option that came with your car.
No, because that part has been depleted.
Yeah. So if it's depleted, what does it matter if you're late to them?
Yeah, basically they're saying warranty.
But you're not claiming the warranty.
No, he is. Yes.
No, he says he's not.
No, he's saying, if I understand him correctly, if he's saying that the when he took the car and they were supposed to change the plugs, they didn't change the plugs. They did everything else on the service, if I understand you correctly.
Yes.
And didn't do that which they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
But at that time, your warranty had expired already.
No, no, my warranty was still valid, yes. So the full kilometer warranty is, I think it's 100,120. I'm not sure.
Okay, let's separate two things.
Okay.
There's a warranty that comes with your car, and then there's a service plan. Yes. Okay.
Yes, there's a service plan. Yes. So I was already out of service plan, but I'm still within warranty.
But if your warranty, are the spark plugs covered in the warranty?
No, Mike.
Well, for the first, they're not.
So what it means is that when you took your car in for service, did you service it in terms of the service plan or did you pay?
I paid.
Okay. So what it means is that they didn't charge you for the spark plugs then, because if you did pay, they would have. So there's nothing that says they must change spark plugs if they are working.
But then if you, from a consumer point of view, that if I bring my car to you for service, how come you did not ask me under 30,000 whether you should change them or not? I mean, they don't ask me on every line item that should we change your air filter, should we change this, should we change that?
Okay, are you saying there's a service manual that belongs to Renault that says at this interval you must change your spark plugs?
That's how it is.
So they didn't do. So we're not talking service plan here. We're not talking warranty. We're simply talking a job that they ought to have done.
Yes. And then just to add to that, so from there, when I brought this to their attention and actually presented them with the proof that they didn't change my spark plugs, they regenerated an invoice with different dates, different line items, and a different invoice number, and all of a sudden now, but the total amount is the same that I paid, but then all of a sudden the spark plugs are in the invoice.
Wow.
And they actually use that against me.
This
was from Renault Melrose, yeah.
I think the more you explain, the more the issue of the spark plugs and whether or not you're, the more it becomes irrelevant, actually, to me, because there are two types of service.
Because now because now my big problem here is it's the, number one, negligence. Number two, okay, if you did nothing wrong, why are you covering up for it?
No, you don't even need to go that
giving
far.
Giving me a fake invoice.
No, you don't need to go that far. So this is how I understand. There are two types of service, a minor service and a major service. And he was at a stage where of a major service where they needed to change the spark plugs. You are taking this vehicle to basically the owners of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So they should know what needs to be done at what mileage on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't do that which they were supposed to do, because the failure to change the spark plugs does affect the warranty. If you, out of your own volition, don't change the spark plugs because you say, no, I don't have the money, it's expensive, and so forth and so forth, then it affects the warranty because the warranty will fall away because you refuse the service that they had said should be done at a particular point. You are saying that you assumed that they would know that this vehicle at 60,000 kilometers should be changed, the spark plugs, and you assume that they had done so. That's what you are saying.
Yes.
And therefore, you are entitled to assume that they had done so because they would know because it's their vehicle after all.
Correct.
So their failure to do so is negligence on their part. Is negligence on their part, the consequence of which should not be visited on you. So they should make do they should fix the vehicle, obviously. Of course, you might have a slight problem of saying you also had a duty to check your own invoice to see whether or not those things had been.
I don't think that's a problem he'll face. I mean, if I think they've just given him because I don't think he has a real claim. I think that the only thing that he might have is a claim that rests on Reno's own reputation. So if you went to Reno, South Africa, for example, and you say, look at your people, they're giving me two invoices for the same thing. They would want to intervene and do something about it. And the reason why I say that I don't believe you have a claim is, I mean, and you probably do have a claim. I just don't understand your story properly maybe because why are they changing this thing? Surely there must be something. There must be something up with that whole maneuvering. But how I see it is if you say to me, because my spark plugs were not changed, the whole engine broke, then I would absolutely say their failure to replace the spark plug has caused another damage.
Yeah.
But if it's only the spark plugs, is that what exactly what happened?
Yeah, that's what
you said. Yes.
Okay, good. You got okay, you got yourself a claim. All right. Go to Reno, South Africa. Go to Reno, South Africa and then and Baring.
I went to. So what happened was, Gevon, at the dealer level, they're not.
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, but what did Reno South Africa say?
Yeah. Okay. I went straight to Reno South Africa, and they basically took me to customer service, and they just said, "No, we're not going to cover it.
Sue them
because you were late for service."
Okay.
So I went to Ombud. Ombud ruled against me. They just said because the car was service late, they won't. But the funny thing is, with the reports from the ombudsman, they didn't even mention anything about the actual dealership that did the service, that did not change the spark plug. They just looked at things on the face value.
If you were late,
there's no relationship.
There's no relationship. But if you were late, isn't that all the more reason to change the spark plugs? Right? But there's no relationship between the two because you are not claiming a warranty. You are not claiming anything. The lateness affects the service plan, affects the warranty. So you might have lost those two things, right? I'm not saying you have, but certainly if they didn't do what their own manual says they must do at 60,000 kilometers, then they were negligent and they're liable for your engine.
Yeah.
All right. We got to run.
Okay. So what can I do?
sue them, brother. Yeah. I think
you have good prospects of success.
Yeah, we think that if you sued, you can win. Clive, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Clive.
Oh, you're speaking to me. Yes. Good. How are you doing?
Lekker. How are you?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for this informative, helpful platform.
You're welcome, brother.
Okay. What I wanted to find out from you, I've got two scenarios that I want to sketch to you.
Mm-hmm.
Scenario number one. I think this was what, around, do I have any recourse? Let's say about 12 years plus minus. I can't recall the exact mm-hmm. date, but it's around there.
Mm-hmm.
A house has been repossessed from you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The house has been repossessed, but the notice, let's say the summonses, my house was number 5, but I never got the summonses. It went to number 7, number 9, somewhere mm. there.
Yeah.
With the result, I never had the summonses. Mm. I was only, let's say, on the last day. Then I noticed that, or not noticed, but, then the repossession took place.
Okay.
So I could have perhaps stopped the summons or, negotiated, but because of the summonses never reached the correct address, do I have any recourse?
Can I kill Isfra?
Yeah.
You speak of it. I'm impressed.
So,
yes, Rawans, Buawans, Ketuawans, Kuluma.
Nothing's it doing, Megazi. Wanneer het jy uitgevind dat dat 'n summons?
Man,
Want ek vra, want weet jy wat? Dis nou 12 jare.
Ja.
Nou, ek wil net weet, wanneer het jy uitgevind? As jy my sê, jy het gister uitgevind, dan kan ons jou help. Maar as jy my sê, jy 12 jaar geweet, dan kan ons nie.
Nee, nie 12 jaar nie, but ek denk dit was joh, bietjie, thereafter, maybe 2-3 years thereafter, then to realize again, man, kijk, die ding is nou klaar gerepossessed, but
That's why I never got the summons. You understand?
Okay, I got you. So let me tell you, you did have a basis to fight when you found out. So you needed to do what we call a rescission application.
Okay.
And for you to rescind, you can rescind an order to say, court, I didn't get this thing. It was granted in my absence, excuse me, by mistake. But for you to bring a rescission application, you need to bring it within
20 days.
Within 20 days. Mm. You need to bring it within 20 court days.
Yeah.
Then your rescission application will be entertained. So you are some years late, I'm afraid.
I'm years late now.
Yeah.
And you also need to demonstrate some prospects of success on the actual merits. And
Yes. So sorry, my brother. I know you said you got two questions, but I'm afraid we can only entertain one. Sorry, Megazi.
I've happened already, but
never mind. Worry, next time. Lesego, Johannesburg.
How are you?
Well, a lady. Yeah.
Why are you pointing at me?
No, because like people are like, what's about a pose? And people are like, hello, Michael. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. All right, we got 6 minutes. Let's do this.
Okay. I would like to know what is a breach of contract. I have a home loan with a bank, and I took it in 2002, and in 2005 I paid it off. And after I have paid it off, I took a further advance. And contract 6 months after the first bond was paid off. And then 6 months after I have paid it off, I took a further advance. And the bank unauthorized reinstated the assurance policy. The policy was with the same bank. And then all along I thought the policy was compulsory. And then I find out 15 years later that the policy was not compulsory. The premiums of the policy, they were adding it to the balance of my home loan every month for the past 15 years. And the credits, the debits were more than the credits. And that caused the home loan to increase instead of decreasing. I took the matter to the bank's ombuds, and the ruling was in my favor. But the bank's ombuds said that the bank can only pay me for 3 years because of the Prescription Act. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to know what should happen to the other debits that were added to my bank balance.
Interesting.
For the past 15 years.
Interesting.
I'm thinking on top on my feet. I'm not convinced that the Prescription Act would be applicable.
I think it always is applicable. I just think that there's nuances. There's a way you can escape.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think there's ground to go beyond the order of the ombudsman to say even for that material period they should pay.
So prescription is 3 years, it's true. But it's not if I'm busy stealing your money and you don't know, prescription doesn't run because you don't know.
Exactly.
Prescription starts to run when you know.
Yeah.
When you find out. So it's when you find out about the loss and also the identity of the person that's causing you the loss.
And it's not a debt either.
That's even an interesting one.
Yeah, it's not a debt. So prescription is not applicable at all.
No, it is. I think
it's not a debt.
Yeah, but no. I think it certainly would because if I take money and you want to recover it that way it becomes a debt. It's not unless you want to say it's a theft, in which case you are elevating it into a nice domain of criminal law. But if it's sort of unauthorized or, I think that the claim, so they need to prove when you found out about the fact that they're taking money from you. If you didn't know for 15 years, in fact, the fact that you've already won this 3 years means that on the merits,
yes,
you are good. You just now established, you just need to
it's
say.
It's an unjustified enrichment.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, it's an unjustified enrichment. So
yeah, it's a claim. So no, no, no. That, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you see, him and I disagree sometimes. but it's good because then one of us is thinking, and I literally mean one of us.
That's me.
So Lesejo,
you have
thank
a good
you,
case.
Thank you for calling. You got a good case.
Yeah.
It prescription doesn't run 3 years. So that 3 years is calculated from a particular date, and your particular date is when you found out about the deductions. If you found out 2 years ago, that means prescription only started to run against you 2 years ago. So
and
you,
I'm,
you
and I'm saying it doesn't apply.
Yeah. and of course, there's that view, of course. Anyway, that was the law report. We really enjoyed this. I think we got to try this once a month, every time.
Anytime, Mike.
And the guy or gal that gets us to buy wine for them, will be a legend. All right. We're back next week. Well, I'm back next week. At least I don't have to see you.
Yeah, mate.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.